on this topic, or my title is Bigger and Better Things. Now, don't be careful with this. As we stop and think tonight, I want to go to the book of Matthew this evening, chapter number 20. Book of Matthew, chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20. I want to start reading in verse 20 down through verse number 28. Chapter number 20 and verse number 20. God actually spoke to my heart a great deal concerning this text the week prior to Mother's Day. As I was reading from the Scripture, let's notice here, verse number 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on my right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we have the privilege to enter into the house of the Lord tonight. I pray that you might speak to our hearts. Lord, tonight, just open our hearts to your leadership, to your wisdom. Spirit of God, may you have rule and reign upon each of us. I submit myself the best I know how to you in these moments. I pray now in Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated. In our business-minded world of today, everyone is looking for promotion. Generally, a promotion means that you're going to gain more respect from your peers, and normally means also you're going to have more in the way of resources, not only in the job, but at the home. It means a pay increase normally. In other words, you're going to have, it seems, more fame and more fortune. And so that is very appealing to folk, that they might be able to go up to bigger and better things. Sadly, this element has invaded the mindset of God's people. And we somehow view different tasks in our labors for the Lord as though some are more worthy than others. And oftentimes we forget something very, very important. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find in verse 6, as Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He goes on to say, So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God's trying to teach us something, amen? He goes on and said, Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For as we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And so here we find being taught to us that all of us have responsibility in building. And as we stop and think about it, it's building people. Our objective is to build people. We have that responsibility, is to come into the lives and to build them. I understand sometimes we've got to tear some things down. Sometimes we've got to do in remodel work. We've got to pull some things out. We can put some new things in. But primarily, our responsibility is what? Building people. And in this particular business that we might call the gospel business, and please don't take that too literally from me, we find here in our context two brothers that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this particular gospel, or in the book of Matthew, we find not only did they come, but their mother came with them. And they come asking something of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are wanting some kind of promotion. They're wanting a, can we say, bigger or better thing. They want something that is going to put them at the right and the left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes into His kingdom. They want a place of prominence. They want promotion. Promotion in God's kingdom, however, works on different bases than this world. God doesn't do it the same way. And so we find here, as they have spoken, Jesus now answers them. And in verse number 22 and verse number 23, He says, if you are going to have promotion, it means that you're going to deal with a baptism. Now, I don't think this is talking about water baptism. I don't think this is talking about somebody coming to the baptistry and we're going to take them, we're going to dunk them underwater as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this particular baptism that Jesus is talking about is that which He endured as He goes to the cross of Calvary. Perhaps we could say the baptism of persecution. I would like to think, perhaps we ought to say it in this regard, is a baptism whereby we are inundating ourselves into a position of self-sacrifice. We are giving up self for not the promotion of self, but the promotion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He who ought always get the honor and not we ourselves. And so it's a promotion into that area. It means that promotion will become, for you and me, the last thing upon our mind, knowing that it is God that ought to have it. Interesting that, you know, tonight, as we sang that song, Sean, I believe God leading us in that, that we might understand something very, very significant. And that is that when we put our hearts and our minds upon the things of this world don't mean nearly as much as they once did. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there were things many years ago when I was first saved, they meant a great deal. But as you grow older in Christ and find Him, they absolutely mean very, very little. I was so excited the day I got the REV on my name, until one day I also discovered that REV stands for reverse. And discovered that really it means nothing. Seriously, we have a baptism of self-sacrifice. He said, you will. They said, are you able? They said, we are able. He said, indeed, you are going to go through it. And these men indeed did go through it. Notice secondly here, promotions in God's kingdom work on a different basis, for we find not only does it mean a baptism we're going to endure, we're going to find out when we're wanting self-promotion, it is going to bring upon us the indignation of our brethren. It always happens. The desire to be over others will bring their wrath. I lived in Seattle for 3 years, and I worked for a company called National Barricade. And most of that time I spent straightening out barricades that truck drivers ran over and other people. And we'd bring those back in the shop. They were little horseshoe things. Sawhorse type of apparatus made out of steel. And boy, they would come in sometimes in great big knots. And so we would take that and we'd take a sledgehammer to it. We'd had a vise. We had a couple of tools that we used. And we worked as a team to straighten those out. And so every day there would be new ones that go out. Those that we would straighten, we'd repaint them and get them ready. And they'd go out. And gentlemen, the men who drove those trucks, they'd go out and replace those that they had messed up the night before. And they'd bring those back. It was a never-ending job. Actually, I owe my life and my livelihood of those 3 years to reckless drivers. And so as they would drive over these things and mess them up, they would be brought back into the shop, and there we would be. I remember on that job, there was a position that one of the gentlemen had been there a number of years. He'd been a retired Navy man, and he finally decided he was going to hang that one up too and move from Seattle back to Montana, which was his home area. And so here was this job. It was upstairs, and it was painting signs. I'd done it a few times in helping him. And my boss came to me, and he said, Gene, he said, I'd like for you to take that, and I'd like for you to go up and to do that job. I found out and learned something in the next few weeks that promotions do not mean that you're going to have the respect and the admiration of your peers. I found out that when I had that so-called promotion, I didn't see it as a promotion, but they did. And as I went up there to become the painter and the sign maker, that there were some who were very jealous. And I remember in particular one man who was a Norwegian that I became his most hated individual. I learned indignation. I was thankful over the next year we were able to make friendships once again. And by the time I left there, we had become good friends once again. But when we're desiring that kind of thing, it does not bring about the greatest happiness in the world. I want to say to you tonight, the surest way down is to have a mind that wants to go up. That has a mind that says, I want to be better than anybody else. Now, we ought to seek to do our jobs well, but I'm talking about in the areas I want to be over in that regard. And after this takes place, we find now the Lord Jesus Christ, He again begins to speak. And I want us to notice here, He adds to all this an admonition. And what a marvelous admonition He gives to us. And perhaps the real intent of the message tonight is right here. For we find that the way that is up, the way that we're going to come into bigger and better things, is to go down. There's a saying at Boys Town, he's not heavy, he's my brother. And you see the boy carried another boy. We find that folks who are willing to humble themselves and to do those things which are in service to others is what God views as going upwards in this matter. It isn't about authority with God. He is the authority. It's about serving. It's about you and I being willing to do whatever it is that God brings into our path. You've heard me tell this story. Many years ago, we were without a teacher for a period of time, and so I taught in the school. And as I was teaching one day, I had this little boy, I believe it was a little boy, he was probably about second grade, maybe first grade, and he says, Pastor, I need a tissue. And we always kept a supply of tissues. We keep the rolled kind of tissues, you know what I mean? They're better than those boxed ones, and because you can get the quantity you need and desire, amen? And so we kept the roll kind of tissues, and so I grabbed that roll and I throw it up and grab me a piece off of it and catch it. And I'm taking this tissue over this little boy. And the thought hits me. It comes into my mind. It was not a good thought, I must confess. I said to myself, I have spent 6 years in college, and here I am taking a snot rag to a snotty-nosed little boy. That's the actual thought that came into my mind. And at that moment, God smote my heart. And at that moment, when that thought came into my mind and God smote my heart, it was, yes, that is exactly right. God saves us to do all sorts of things. I remember it hadn't been that long ago, last year sometime, I was in the back room of the furnace room, and I'm going to give you a secret. Never go into the back furnace room downstairs in the old basement. There's a drain down there, and that drain sometimes plug up. You may be the one to discover that. I believe that if you're the one who discovers things, it must be God's will for you to fix it. Amen? Yeah. Folks come by, sometimes they say, you know, there's a light bulb out in the bathroom. And I say, praise God, He's got a place of service for you. Since I've been doing that, I haven't had near the folks saying there's lights out someplace. They just leave them. They'll be that way for ages. But seriously, I went back there and this thing was plugged up. It serves as a drain for a sink that we put in after we built the building. And somebody had dumped some stuff down that. It went down. There's a little grate there. It had plugged up. And here I see this mess. And I have to get down on my hands and knees to get into this place. How many know what dirty sewer water feels like? Yeah, it's not fun. How many, Tom's back there raising his hand. He works at the sewer plant. He knows this stuff. He's got her down pat. And you're the repairman there even. By the way, he's the man. If it's not flowing, it's his fault. Anyways, I'm down on I was in my hands and knees. I actually had on a fairly decent pair of slacks at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, this stuff does not wash off. I'm going to be going to a church service and my fingers are going to look like I have been working. Well, amen. All righty. God wants us to be willing to do anything that is before us. Amen. And sometimes that might mean getting our hands dirty in a sewer. It isn't about authority, as these gentlemen were thinking. It is about serving our God. You know, God places in families fathers to lead those families. But sometimes we as fathers want to sit around and brag about our position, shout out orders to our children, and be served. But when we stop and look at what the Bible teaches us as fathers, it is not a position of being served. It's a position of serving. Being a pastor of a church has with it certain honors and privileges, but let's understand something. That means a position of serving. It isn't for me to come here on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning and chew you out. It's a matter that I must come and give you something because God said, feed my sheep. There are things that need to be understood and helped with in people's lives. And so God demands a servant's heart. That is what He's seeking out of you and out of me. Now if you got your Bible, turn a little bit farther. After giving Sean a hard time, I'm not going to say flip to Luke. But if you turn to Luke chapter number 2, there's two people here that just absolutely catch my attention every time I read through this. And chapter number 2, and notice verse number 25. Here we find Him, of course, the story of our Savior as He comes into the world. We find that He's being taken to the temple. And notice verse number 25. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation, the consoling. Can we say the Savior? And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now here's an unusual man. He is walking so close to God. In Old Testament times, the Holy Ghost is upon him. You do not find that normally. And notice here, it says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now notice the next verse. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit of God is leading him. And so he's coming to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, and he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Do you know you never see this fellow in the pages of Scripture anywhere but here? Here's an unknown personality, and yet God knows him. Yet he's a fellow that is walking with God. The Holy Spirit of God is upon him. The Holy Spirit of God is leading him. And God allows him the wonderful privilege to hold the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people had that privilege? In the very temple of God. I believe here's a fellow who had that kind of an attitude. He wasn't looking for a position. He was looking for the Savior. And God blessed him. Let's keep reading. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. God only let him hold the baby Jesus. God revealed him the course of the Savior's life, his death, and of course his resurrection. But notice verse 36. This one amazes me even more. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Now do your math and you figure out she'd been a widow for many, many, many years. But notice what it says. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. We don't recognize this sometimes, but do we understand the tremendous service we do for God's people when we are in the attitude of prayer? When you and I are at the business of seeking God on behalf of others? Do we recognize that this woman, though she is very aged, it says doesn't depart out of the temple, she has made this her livelihood. She has made this the place of her service, and she has fasting, she has prayers, and God blesses her. Here's a woman that indeed had bigger and better things. Because what do we find here? She coming in that instant. Do you think this was an accident? Do you think this was something that just kind of happened? I do not think so. I believe God established a divine appointment for her. And it was an appointment to see the Savior. And it says, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here we find two people that have humility in their hearts. Brethren, what is the great need of our hour? The great need of our hour is to walk with God. To walk with Him. We will not walk with God in our pride and arrogance, seeking His promotions. It is when we're walking with God, willing to do whatever it is He has for us. It doesn't matter. I believe some of the most wonderful people in the world are those whom others seldom ever see. Let me pick on one in our church tonight. She does more work than most of you could ever imagine around here. In all the years I've known her, very seldom complains. Has been one of the stable and staple nursery workers for years and years. And I also call her my friend. And I'm speaking of LaDonna Lidgett. And most folks have no idea. Doesn't want to be in front of people. Just doesn't want to be. And there's a whole host of you like that here. Thank God when we can humble ourselves before God and others and simply seek to serve. Amen. And do what He's called us to do. That's what God's looking for. Too often we're looking for promotions. Too often we're looking for adulations from people. Too often we're looking for somebody to pat us on the back. When really it's about patting Jesus on the back. It's really about, you know, the things of this world don't mean near as much. And that's what it's talking about. It's about giving Him the honor, giving Him the praise, because He's the one that does it. Amen? How we need to chuck pride out the door. Pick up humility in our lives. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's really hard to preach on humility. Because my ongoing problem is pride. And most of us do, don't we? We like to be noticed. We like to be seen. But really, it's all about Him. Amen? I look at Simeon. He doesn't seem to be anybody important. I look at Anna, a little widow woman. I look at the two sons of Zebedee who came and asked Jesus. What I'm going to tell you in the next few years, they did go through a baptism, and God brought them to the place of humility, and God used them. Who's going to sit on the right hand of God and who's going to sit on the left hand? You know what? If our hearts are right with God, all we're concerned about is He's on the throne. That's all that matters. It is He that is on the throne. Amen? I trust you let God just speak to your heart. Father, tonight,